morning again.
Good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are many different things in this world that feed into the desires that we have. Some of those desires are very natural. Some of those desires are not very healthy. And Lord, any desire that overshadows our need for you is indeed evil and will only corrupt us. So Father, teach us, guide us, help us to look to your Son for all fulfillment, for all glory, for all good things. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus is teaching as he does. And someone amongst the crowds stands up and says, Rabbi, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I imagine that those of you who have been blessed to be parents don't long for the day where your children are going to fight over whatever goods that you're going to have when you leave this world. Did you bring your children into the world to fight and to bicker over your stuff? And if you are looking forward to that amongst your children, please don't make an appointment with me. I'd like to talk to you. I have heard horror stories of siblings who fight with their other siblings over things their parents have been battling over the will. I'm also very baffled by how it works in our country with lawyers and things like that, where it can be written into a will and testament that if there is any arguing over how this will be distributed, that person will get less. And yet, they still are able to get a lawyer, and they will battle for more of their share. And of course, more of those goods are being drained, going towards the lawyers. Jesus has a very interesting answer to this man. He says, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Now this is interesting here. I could certainly see if I'm in a situation where I'm in a constant battle with somebody over something, it is having a great and adverse effect over my life. Especially going through a battle over a will, perhaps. I would certainly want to say, hey, turning to God is probably a wise thing to do in prayer. Perhaps how we pray is probably going to be more important than just going and praying. Because here this man is saying, tell my brother to do something. You're an authority. You tell him to do it. In some ways, it's kind of odd because here's this guy. He's acting as if he has the authority to tell Jesus to tell his brother to do something. Which is pretty interesting. But when it comes to things, when it comes to stuff, when it comes to money, it can kind of drive us to not seek out our better angels, if you will. Can actually bring out the worst in us. There's a reason why the love of money is evil. There's a reason why the love of money and greed can corrupt human hearts. It doesn't make us think straight. And yet Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, says, man, who appointed me to settle this dispute with your family? That's interesting, because what does Jesus mean by that? Why wouldn't he try to sit down with these two brothers and try to work out in brotherly fashion a solution that works? It is interesting. Jesus could have pointed them to some of the scriptures like Proverbs that do talk about money. And in fact, this brother who is pleading to Jesus would be a little disappointed to see that there's no rule written in the Bible that says parents must divide equally amongst their children. Because, you know, in our world we care about fair, right? Boy, one kid gets more of the inheritance than the other. That's not fair. Actually, you'll find in the scriptures that a good and faithful servant might be more likely to receive the inheritance of their masters and their own children if the servant was more loving and more kind to those children or their parents, was more faithful to them. So, in God's word, there's nothing, parents, that tell you have to divide equally amongst your kids. But on a deeper level, why did Jesus come into this world? Did he come to settle our marital disputes? Did he come to be that genie in a lamp to grant us the wishes of our hearts? Because what you're seeking, the desires that are driving you right now, it might not be just money. It could be anything else. Are you looking to have your itch scratched? Or are you looking for something deeper and more important and more meaningful? Is settling the inheritance going to fill the void in your heart? Is winning the lottery going to fill the void in your heart? Is getting your way going to fill the void in your heart? Is the promotion at work? Is the degree that you're about to receive? Even the relationships that you have on their own, Can they fill the God-shaped void in your heart? Jesus goes on and tells this parable. Before he says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. What does that mean? It means desiring things that aren't yours to desire. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told him this parable saying, the land of the rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I want my children to have joy in this world. I want them to have I want them to desire good things, and I want them to be able to receive those good things in this world. I want all of you to be able to have joy in this world. When you work hard, I want you to receive the benefits of your labor. I want good things to happen, right? And in order to do that, ultimately, the way that we give our kids the best and most abundant life in this world is to remind them that there is more to our lives than just this world. This is what separates us from a lot of people in the world here. This is what makes Christians so different and causes us to live differently. We don't seek rest. We're not called to seek after our own welfare all the time. We're not here to make ourselves the greatest amongst men. Yes, go work, earn an income. Your family needs it, right? Yes, go and love your neighbor through your work. Work hard for them and show them that they have value in the product that you provide for them. That's all good and godly. When your boss asks you to do something, yes, carry it out without grumbling. Unless he or she is asking you to do something immoral or illegal, do it. Be a good disciple of Christ. But know also that you could have every treasure in this world. You could be the employee of the year. Who knows? Maybe we have someone, maybe we have a little one, who is one day going to be the MVP of the National League and bring the Padres a World Series for you. Or the Dodgers, for that matter. Okay, let's include everybody in here, okay? Love you, though. But as Solomon says, without God, it's all vanity. Vanity of vanities. That was that joyful reading that we had in Ecclesiastes, wasn't it? Without God, it ultimately all is a chasing of the wind. Have you ever tried to race the wind? Have you caught it? Good luck, right? Without God, it's meaningless. You could have $0 in the bank, and you might be wondering where your rent's going to come from. Or you could feel like, man, I am so secure. Man, when I go to that auto shop tomorrow, go get my car worked on, I got nothing to worry about because it's covered. The money is in the bank. No matter where you are at, is that going to matter when God says, it's time to punch the ticket? Your time in this world is ended. Your possessions, your achievements in this world, they don't get you to heaven. Your possessions, your achievements in this world, they're not getting your children to heaven. Jesus is. He says, come to me, you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, don't worry. And a little bit about the sermon next week. Don't be anxious about tomorrow and what you're going to wear or eat. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things are going to be given unto you. This is why the Apostle Paul writes to us in Colossians 3, He says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice that. Something happened when you were baptized. Something happened when you put your faith into God. Something happens. Yes, you are still you in some sense, individually. I'm not the same as Alec. I'm not the same as Bill. So, I mean, Bill and I were broken, right? Because he's supposed to be playing baseball, right? And yet, we are dead in our sinful selves because Christ has become our life. Jesus is your life. He is your very being. He has changed you. And that's okay. Because guess what? You might be feeling pretty awful about some of the sins that you've committed. But those sins, your faults and your failures, they no longer define you. That is not who you are. You are forgiven. You are not your bank account and the amount of money. You are Christ's child. You have inherited the kingdom of God. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. Every spiritual blessing from before the foundation of the world. So let's think about that for a second. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing before the foundation of the world. When we worry about all these things and we look to these things to feed our lives, when there are certain things that we want, and we'll get into it a little bit more here in Colossians, these things that we desire. If we compare God's kingdom and we've been blessed with these spiritual blessings before tonight, think of the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. Think of the promises. Yeah, we know what we have in heaven. We know we can look at the bank account and say, you know what? Guess what? I'm going to do a little shopping today because I can afford that. That's a nice feeling to have, right? I have the power to do that for myself. How much more assurance do we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? When we pray, when we ask him, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. If you ask my Father for anything in my name, it will be given to you. Paul goes on. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have it written down right in front of me. But he talks about how there are different innate human desires. When we're cold, we have warm clothes, we've created warm clothing for ourselves, right, to put on. When we're hungry, there is food to eat. When we are thirsty, there is water to drink. When we have sexual cravings, we have been given marriage and sex. When we have, and he says, what about that deeper desire, the desire to know more? There is something, most human beings naturally believe there's some kind of life after death. Even if you talk to people who aren't necessarily Christian, and you ask them what's going to happen when they die, a lot of people are going to say, I think I'm going to some kind of heaven. I think I lived a good enough life. Most people are going to think that. They think that they naturally think there's something more than what we have in this world. And C.S. Lewis uses that logic to say that, yes, because we have these other things in our mindset that fulfill our needs and our desires, this hole in our heart that says there's got to be something more. Because you know what? Waking up and doing the grind every day and not necessarily being appreciated for it, man, that's vanity. That's a chasing of the wind. And yet, there's God. There's God who gives us a purpose. There's God who loves you and cherishes you. There's God who's actually given you a mission to go and live changed and new. To pray for your neighbor, to love your neighbor. And when the time is right, to share with your neighbor the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did God form you in the very beginning because he loved you, he formed you fearfully and wonderfully, made you in your mother's womb, but even when we sin and go against his will, he still says, I love you so much. How much? I love you enough to send my only begotten Son, meaning the only divine thing, the only other divine being, divine with me, that can save you. I'm going to take my beloved Son. I'm going to make him both God and man. He's going to have human flesh. He's going to live with you. He's going to lower himself from my heavenly throne. And he'll be lifted up again, oh yes, but he's going to be lifted up high, stripped naked on a cross, crowned with a crown of thorns. I love you that much to make that kind of a payment for your sins, to redeem you from death, from hell, and from Satan. You are not your things. You were bought and redeemed by Jesus Christ. And because you love him and he loves you, rejoice. Because you have been baptized into a death with Jesus, and just as he is raised up, you have been raised up with Jesus. You are a new creation, filled with life and abundance. And it doesn't only just happen right when you die. It's like, hey, my afterlife is taken care of. What about right now? Yes, right now. He is here, your Lord. Promising you all good things, every spiritual blessing before the foundation of the world is ours. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, and gave his life for you, and took it and raised it back up. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.